Could I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.
May I have your attention,
and this is Attention, Please. I'm your host this week, Jim Burke, and we'll be talking about Engage PT. A page on the City of PT website, cityofpt.us, where you, as a citizen of Port Townsend, can get involved in what's going on around town and what the city plans to do about several things. But in this case, we're just going to focus on two things, the Sims Gateway Project and the golf course. The Sims Gateway Project is nearing approval for the next steps, which is when they actually start working on changing the gateway. Yes, some trees will be harmed in the making of this new plan, unfortunately. And then next spring, the city needs recommendations about how to deal with the golf course property, 57 acres of green space in the middle of Port Townsend, which supposedly cannot be used for housing. No. Maybe margins of it can be. It's unclear. That's where the city needs your input. The last Saturday of every month, there are people from the city at the Port Townsend Farmers Market awaiting your input on the golf course and what to do with it. I was there last Saturday, talked to Steve King, the Port Townsend Public Works Director, and also City Council Member Ben Thomas. We'll have some quotes from them later. On August 4th, Bureaucracy Now. Bureaucracy Now co-host John Morrow, the city manager of PT, and Missy Nielsen had as their guests Aaron Bird, the executive director of the Port of Port Townsend, Will O'Donnell, the communications director for the Jefferson County PUD, and Steve King, the City of Port Townsend Public Works Director.
We have a constellation of public servants here, including Aaron Berg, the executive director of the Port of Port Townsend, Will O'Donnell, the communications director for the Jefferson PUD, and Steve King, our public works director here at the city. We wanted to at least start with a conversation around the Sims Gateway project and particularly an open house that is happening on Saturday from 10 to 1 at the community center up in Uptown. And just to kind of get people excited about what that is, about where we are with the project, and have a little dialogue. So I think that's why we're here. And welcome, gentlemen, to the conversation.
Well, it's good to be here, John.
Thanks, John.
It's great to see these faces with names I was reading about in these documents. I'm really looking forward to learning more about this open house. John, are you going to do a little backstory? I know we had the opportunity to bring this topic to our listeners somewhere in March. You want to kind of give us an overview for starters?
Yeah, sure. Maybe we can crowdsource that from this group because, ostensibly, we're here as three different agencies for kind of the same reason, but from slightly different perspectives for why. You know, there's a little bit of something for everybody. So, maybe I don't want to, it's probably no problem putting Aaron on the spot because he's used to it. But, you know, in one way, this story began in the boatyard. One could also say it began with the power lines, but maybe Will and Aaron, you can kind of just remind people how we got here.
Yeah, sure. I don't mind jumping in. The story begins for me on June 25th of 2021, and it was a report from one of the tenants of the boatyard who indicated that he'd seen the power lines arcing. And our environmental specialist, Terry Taylor, went out to try to locate the issue, and he couldn't really spot anything, but as he was standing there, and I'll quote his email, as I turned to leave, a loud zap and snap went off and my hair stood up. While reporting the findings to Drew at the PUD, it happened again. The issue was midline, no pole, no transformer involved. The power lines moving with the breeze are arcing with the branches of the two poplar trees outside the fence. And, so the issue was really that this, what is it, Will, 115,000 volt transmission line was arcing into the poplars and energizing the ground and coming up into Terry's body where he felt the effect of it in his hair. So a very serious issue. And really the port responded immediately with the PUD right there with us, and the city jumped in to support, recognizing that we had an imminent safety hazard that we needed to address. And that was really the start of what became a much more complicated project that has born an even more complicated public process.
Do you have some other information you want to add on? Because a lot has happened since the inception of this dramatic need.
Well, and we've learned a lot along the way, so I'm happy to pass the mic. I mean, it's interesting. I think most people know I'm fairly new here, just a little over 2 years on the job. The boatyard's been in existence for decades. The power line's been there for decades. The poplars have been there since the mid-60s, so also for decades. And, you know, we keep learning new things. I guess maybe one additional bit of information that we've learned that's new during this time period is that our mobile travel lifts, which are the heart of the boatyard operation, are classified as cranes and as such have a 20-foot operating setback from the outside edge of the power lines. The port has not operated that way at any point in its history. You know, we operate actually right up to, but certainly no further than about 10 feet from the power lines historically. So, you know, there's some huge consequences as a result of the project, mm-hmm. ensuring the viability of the boatyard, and really almost about 40 spaces for boat parking along the Sims Way and back towards port headquarters there by the gas station.
If you don't mind me asking a question, if you will, I was really struck by this idea that this transmission is, you know, floating out through branches, but I read somewhere also in the root structures. So, I mean, this is a pretty critical problem. Is that very common for trees to create that kind of grounding effect, or is it our soil type or the particular tree? You know, why are we having this arcing above, and do we indeed have kind of a transmission below?
Yeah, Aaron did a great job of lining up the issue, but I want to have just one quibble with what he said. It's not that the lines are arcing out to the trees. The trees have actually grown up into the power line. So the trees are making contact with the transmission line. And they're actually, when we went out to investigate, there was a horizontal burn line going all along the poplar trees from where they were contacting the transmission line. So when they hit the transmission line, then the electricity is flowing down, and that's causing the popping and the arcing. And in our county, our entire service territory for delivering electric, we've got electric lines running through forests, and it's a big challenge. Mm-hmm. 80% of all the hours that our customers are without power are due to tree interference, usually wind blowing down branches or blowing down whole trees. So we're always dealing with tree interference. We're trimming trees year round. In this issue, it was what we did right away is we shut the power down running through that transmission corridor. When the PUD builds power lines, when we design our electrical grid, we usually have two paths with which we can deliver power. That way, in case of an outage, if one path is blocked, we can reroute it the other way. So we shut down this corridor for safety's sake, for the boatyard and for the trees. And we've had it shut down for the last year, and that's had its own challenges. It reduces our resiliency in the case of larger outages, but safety is paramount, and that's what we're doing now. And we need to take action relatively soon, but we want to see the stakeholder process all the way through.
Good segue, Will. And Missy, if I can also bring Steve into the conversation and maybe do two things at once, and to recognize that, you know, when things don't go well with public dialogue, you know, it catches the attention. And when things do go well, it's usually because we've set a forum for clear roles and responsibilities and a transparent, open process for people to participate. And I really think, you know, top marks to these organizations who have worked with us to do that. And Steve and his counterpart at the port, Matt Klontz, have really been stewarding that stakeholder group. And maybe just a few words about where that's at and how that interfaces with decision making.
Yeah, you bet. Happy to share. First of all, Yeah, Matt and Will and I started, we got a consultant on board to help us with the effort here back in April. And we started meeting with a stakeholder group who mostly were volunteers who wanted to participate. And our goal with that stakeholder group was to bring as many diverse perspectives to the table as possible so that we could evaluate options and really look into the details around this project and hear different viewpoints and different perspectives. So a big hats off to the stakeholder group that debated out a lot of passionate issues. And I think that stakeholder group is very reflective of our community and the various viewpoints we've heard through public comment. So the stakeholder group looked at everything from the landscaping forms to where paths go, how the boatyard works. Basically the outcome of that is the development of a preferred option after evaluating a number of options, which we'll present at the open house this Saturday. And again, just a huge hat tip to all the stakeholders, to Matt, to Will, the consultants, because we learned a lot. And it takes that kind of debate and looking at things from all different angles in order to really come up with good solutions. And, you know, not everybody in the stakeholder group's going to be happy with the outcome, and nor would I expect everybody in the public to be perfectly happy, because there is that diversity in opinions and viewpoints. But, you know, from a process standpoint of stewarding public funds and doing the best that we can in situations like this, where we have safety issues, where we have economic needs of the port and the gateway and the aesthetic of our community and those beloved trees, were all very well debated in that process.
You know, John, I was really struck by your conversation, talking point about transparency. And this citizen stakeholder group was developed with just this moment in time in mind. It's not just an ongoing board. They were targeted for this purpose. And you do that. You built it because there was community input. I think you guys, they were meeting twice a month. And so this upcoming open house is going to present the compilation of what they've reviewed along with what has been developed through the experts that the city has hired. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It really be a showcase of all that work. And those really, I mean, as Steve says really well, I mean, they're challenging conversations, because, you know, we don't want to pick like, okay, who has the same exact opinion? Because we don't know the best way forward when we start a process like this. It's richer because of all the participation and the perspectives we might not see. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that group is making a recommendation out, you know, both one that the public can understand on Saturday by stopping by and seeing the boards and looking at alternatives and understanding and engaging with the agencies. But then it goes to the Parks Recreation Tree Trail Advisory Board. That's a mayor and council appointed advisory body that will also take this on in advance of it going to the governing bodies of the port, the PUD, and the city council, which is expected. We're currently trying to schedule that meeting likely in September for decision making. So, you know, for those who think that open house will be a unveiling of the decision, that's not really what it's about. It's really an unveiling of the process and the wrestling with ideas, and, you know, it shines light on a lot of work that volunteers did, you know, from diverse points of view. There'll be public opportunities to comment at the Parks Board conversation, as there always is. And then, of course, at the governing body, when our elected officials make a decision about a path forward, they're on the hook for that. That's their role. That's another opportunity for engagement. But I guess I would say, for those who are waiting for the decision, you know, go equip yourself either at the open house with the information and the engagement, understand it. Go to Engage PT on our website, review the materials. I mean, you could watch the video of some of those stakeholder meetings. And they're phenomenal. You know, you really get a sense of the complexity of what we're trying to juggle.
You know, competing demands on what's really essential. And I found it incredibly helpful. And I'm always in awe of all the content that's uploaded to the city so we can be partners in decision making. The arborist assessment. I was reading all the documentation. Do I understand? We kind of don't have a choice. It's just what we're going to do about it. We have to address the power issue. And do we have the lemonade of underground power and all those other things we have to decide. But it's not an option. Is that correct? We do have to address this.
The PUD has a real mandate to protect safety as they deliver services to communities. So I'll let Will speak to that, requirement to do something. We also arguably have a requirement to do something about aesthetics, about connectivity of non-motorized trail, of the port and the viability of our marine trade. So depending on what your perspective and angle is, there's probably a good justification for some degree of intentional choice forward instead of waiting for something to happen. But maybe a good question to Will on the kind of immediate concerns of safety.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it was one that we had to spend a good bit of time on internally and then with the stakeholder group, because we tried to look at options for our preferred options, what we would like to do, incorporating all the feedback for how to design the corridor. And then, well, what would happen if we didn't do anything? What would happen if we didn't go ahead with the project, the city, the port and the PUD put forward to the PIF board and already had funding for? And in that scenario, we couldn't just do nothing, because the PUD has to trim the trees back away from the power lines in order to turn the power lines back on. And once we turn the power lines back on, the port will have to move some of the boats back. There's ramifications of each decision, and we've gone through that. And that thinking and that process will be on display this weekend. So it'll be a great opportunity for folks to see kind of what the options are and what the thinking has been. But I really want to give kudos to John and Aaron, Steve and Kevin, my boss at the PUD. They have just done a phenomenal job in conjunction with the county, working closely, meeting regularly since the pandemic. And that process has been what this county has needed for a long time. I've been very impressed and pleased to see the progress and the collaboration that's occurred. And with this project, we came at it with some serious safety issues, and they decided to try not just to address them in the short term, but long term. How can we address the safety issues in a way that makes everything better for everybody? So if we're undergrounding the power and the port can add more boat space, and the city can enact some of its long-range plans and improve its corridor. I mean, I was really impressed by the project and the thinking. However, it turns out with the stakeholder input, which has been phenomenal, it's going to be a strong project any which way we go.
And this is KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, and you are listening to Attention, Please.
Will and Steve have been putting so much work into this. Maybe you guys can give us a sense of kind of a run through for what this might look like and where.
And John nailed it. It's a 10-to-1 drop in. We'll have staff there. Our consultants will be there. I expect some of the stakeholder committee members to be there. And folks can just come in and focus in on the stations they want to talk about. Or what we encourage is we'll order the stations up around the room that people just do a walkthrough and you see the whole picture from start to finish. So really informal, but intended to touch as many people as we can. And we're going to be interested in collecting comment. We'll be jotting down the responses of folks and their ideas, suggestions right there live.
One other question I wanted to ask is, did I read correctly that we'll be looking at those concepts that are preferred? They're going to be delineated as not preferred. We're going to show the whole spectrum or just glean it down?
Well, we've got, that's a great question. There's a lot of material to try to cover. So the preferred option will be, presented, and the other options that were considered will also be presented. Although the preferred option will be, you'll be able to see that there'll be more aesthetic, drawings and stuff to show.
Prettier poster, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then, we expect people to get into granular discussions, just like we did with the stakeholder group, recognizing that we want to get a chance to visit with as many people as possible. But written comment is always welcome, and all of this comment will be brought to the Parks Board and the full City Council, Port Commission, and PUD Commission. So we're trying to create a good public record from start to finish. And I think we have well over 100 comments already that we've logged and are detailed out on the website.
And if folks can't join the open house on Saturday, could you give our listeners an email address for the appropriate, you know, to put comments in? Is there a dedicated one, or just who is the point person or the department one would send comments into?
We're encouraging folks to send their emails in through engagept@cityofpt.com.
Thank you.
Or .us. And that's right on our website. So we encourage folks to look at the material on the website and then send in constructive comments. Those are really helpful when we get constructive information.
John, any loose ends? I want to make sure we can, you know, pick up other pieces you have on your plate, or we can go a little further down on that tree assessment, because I have granular questions that I should probably save for Saturday.
You know, I think some of us, I think Aaron said too, I mean, some of us are new to the community. I'm not even 3 years old here, but I feel like it's both been forever because of COVID, but also like we're just getting going. There are events that have been long postponed that are coming back. So I'm getting really excited for a sound check as it leads into Thing and, you know, a lot of the things that kind of are why Port Townsend is just the most amazing little city anywhere. So we'll have a chance to kind of unpack soundcheck next week on the 11th.
Will, Steve, and also Aaron, thank you all awesome. For taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Missy. And thanks. See people on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the community center.
Excellent. Thanks again.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See you later.
During that open house on August 12th, I spoke to Steve King about the preferred option that was developed by the stakeholder committee for the Sims Gateway project. And this is what he had to say.
So what is the preferred option in this room?
So the preferred option in the room is for a full boatyard expansion, which means replacement of the poplars on the boatyard side, all of them. On the Cotai side, it's a replacement over time. So we preserve the poplars that are in good health, replace the ones that are failing, and just replace over time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that seems simple enough, but I'm sure it's not.
There's a lot of moving parts, but
All right. Well, thanks for talking to me, Steve.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
This song is called Tree Hugger, written by Kimia Dawson and performed by Kimia Dawson and Antsy Pants. It's from the Juno soundtrack.
The flower said, I wish I was a tree. The tree said, I wish I could be a different kind of tree. The cat wished that it was a bee. The turtle wished that it was a bee.
On the last Saturday of last month, I went to see Steve King, Public Works Director, the City of PT. And Ben Thomas. And Ben Thomas, who is a city council member of the city of Port Townsend. And I got their thoughts about the golf course input from the community that they're looking for the next several months. If you go to the City of PT website and you go to Engage PT, you can find the golf course is in there. The original plan and push to do something about the golf course started in 2017, but they are reviving that now because they want input from the public between now and next spring.
Tom.
I remember
Ben.
You said,
no, Ben. What's your name?
Ben Thomas.
See, that's why I'm confused.
Yeah.
Ben Thomas. With the golf course, at what point are we at in the golf course redesign?
Well, it's a great opportunity for big picture thoughts. You know, we don't have a final result, you know, in ink. You know, nothing's etched in stone. We have a great tradition. Some people want to keep it. Some people want to change it. So it's a great time to get the voice in right now.
I've heard that there's a restriction on the land because of how it was left to the city. Is there a restriction on what the city can do to it or with it?
I don't think there's a... Well, this is me. I mean, I can only say what I've heard. So I believe that's not a binding, that we could do what we want with it. But I do think there's an implied commitment there to the golf course,
right? Or for a public space for the common good.
Certainly that, I think. I really doubt it's going to get sold off for housing.
Yeah.
No,
selling it off would be the worst thing.
I haven't heard anybody really push that. So I don't see that happen. I mean, we're all trying to keep our minds as open as possible right now, and to kind of funnel in. I mean, it's right in the middle of the heart of town, so
it
keeping it open is a lot of people's interest right now.
So there's a meeting coming up because you guys are getting started on the golf course and Mountain View redesign. So when's the meeting?
There's a meeting on September 19, and I wish I could describe it more in detail, but maybe we can follow up with some more
details. I can find out online on the City of PT website.
Indeed, yes. cityofpt.us.
That's right. That's right. So, but it's on the 19th.
The 19th of September, yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Kerry, who's going to lead this effort, they're looking at Mountain View and the golf course together.
I quoted you a couple of weeks ago in there about the Gateway project.
Right.
What's the next step on that?
Next step is, so the Parks Board went ahead and recommended the preferred alternative get forwarded to the council. So that on September 12th, we have a public meeting at, I believe it's 6:30 at the Pavilion in Point Hudson. It'll be the City Council, Port Commission, and PUD Commission, and we'll present that information that the Parks Board recommended and the stakeholder group worked on. So that'll be kind of the decision point on what to go forward with.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you have any preferred ideas about the golf course at this point?
Well, no. You know, it'll be interesting to, I've heard a lot of different things, but, you know, Kerry's going to lead this through a process of...
And Carrie is?
She's the strategic parks director that is going to look at this. And we have landscape architects on board, which are going to help us create the vision based on the public feedback. And, that'll give the council something to decide on what to do with the golf
course. So are people really down on the golf course, do you find?
No, we just find that, you know, there's not a whole lot of golfers, and so there's questions about whether or not this is the best use of 58 acres.
Right.
And the golf course needs a lot of work, and maybe there's some sort of hybrid. Who knows what comes out of it? Because I know there is a lot of interest in amongst the golfers. I think one of the things that we've heard consistently and probably will continue to hear is the value of open space and green space.
Right.
I don't imagine that there would be just all houses. I've heard that a couple times today at the market.
But
you know, we've got to let the process go through it and see where it goes.
Yeah. I do like the townhouse on San Juan idea. I mean, I don't know how many you could pack in there if they were just close, you know, or connected like the old English,
like the old row houses.
Well, English and East Coast. That's sort of an East Coast thing, really.
Yeah. I've heard a couple times today that housing was most appropriated along San Juan or Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, that's it for Attention Please for this week. You can go to cityofpt.us and go to the Engage PT website. And the Sims Gateway Project is under Hot Topics. And you can give the people of the city government your thoughts and ideas about the golf course and about the Sims Gateway Project. Next Monday, September 12th, there is a meeting at the Pavilion at Point Hudson at 6:30. And there's going to be discussion about the Sims Gateway Project. This has been Attention Please, your weekly news magazine from KPTZ. I'm your host, Jim Burke. You can always reach me at jim@kptz.org, or you can reach us at news@kptz.org. This is Attention Please. Thanks for listening.
Attention Please.
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Can I have your attention, please?